Yeah, I think this one should have been left buried. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull next.
Legend says that a crystal skull was stolen from a mythical lost city in the Amazon. Supposedly built out of solid gold. Guarded by the living dead. Whoever returns the skull to the city temple will be given control over its power.
You will help us find it.
A simple yes will do.
And welcome to Fantasy Picks Movie Edition. My name is Rob. I have with me Ralph.
How's it going?
Awesome. And today joining us is Mark.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Doing all right.
All right. So, as always, what's going on with you guys?
Not much.
not a whole lot. Just watching Indiana Jones for the third time today.
For the third? You watched it three times?
Well, the first two times I didn't go through it all the way.
Just skim all to the parts that you liked.
This is the go through where I'm watching it to see if the video problems were from streaming or if it's actually part of the actual production.
So one of the cool things, have you guys seen the Super Bowl, all the announcements they did with all the movies?
Most of them. I saw most of the ones. The trailers I was looking forward to were more Marvel-based.
Which one are you looking for?
Moon Knight and Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
I have to say that trailer looked awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was pretty impressive. And Moon Knight, I'm still holding out on judgment on that. It looks a little cartoony in some places, but they say that it's going to be the darkest one.
Yeah, from what I've read, it's going to be pretty hard-hitting, so we'll see. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, if DC's showing Marvel anything, it's like you can do the graphic nature and still save the vibe of the actual the characters and make something work.
Yeah, the one thing that people have been criticizing is the Spawn-like costume, where the costume comes alive and just wraps around them, so I'm kind of curious to see how that's going to work. But one of the cool things I saw was that they announced the release date for Top Gun, Top Gun 2, which is May 22nd. And then Ring of Power, the trailer for Ring of Power actually came out. What do you guys think about that?
I'm looking forward to that. That's Amazon Prime. That's based on a Lord of the Rings, and I really look forward to that. My friend Anwen is looking forward to it because she lives in New Zealand, and she was an extra in the original movies down there. And she did the tours for where the filming locations were in New Zealand. So I look forward to that. She heard some good buzz because she lives not too far from Weta, and her brother-in-law works for that film and film company as well, too. So it's something to look forward to. The effects and the visuals look really good.
Cool. Was she involved in this one at all? Or
No. She's looking forward to it because she just loves the rings.
Hey, man, I'm looking forward to it, too. It looked pretty good. I mean, as always, you know, internet chatter is some people complain about it. But Amazon did anything as close as Peter Jackson, then awesome. Although I did hear a rumor that Amazon wants to redo the Lord of the Rings trilogy. So
they could actually do that for the fact that more than enough time has passed and they could easily integrate it within to move in succession of this, because the Ring of Power, from my understanding, is based upon the Silmarillion and how, you know, the rings are made and forged, and then it moves on, and they could easily continue with the story, which is right. Makes sense.
Yeah, no, and you know what? If they do a good job, I'm all for it. If this series, when it comes out, and it looks like crap, and it is crap, then probably they shouldn't touch it. But
yeah,
I guess we'll reserve judgment on that. What do you guys think of the Nope trailer? That actually impressed me.
That was really intense. It makes me want to go see it.
Yeah. The only thing that worries me is the path that Jordan Peele is taking. So I think I was discussing with Ralph. So he's pretty much like M. Night Shyamalan, except that, you know, so if you think about it, like when M. Night Shyamalan had The Sixth Sense, where that's where he really took off. So, mm-hmm. and then of course Jordan Peele had his first movie. What was the name of that movie?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Talking about the Jordan Peele movie?
The first one.
The first one. No Way Out. Is that what it was?
That was a No Way Out. That was not that's... that's a Kevin Costner film from the Kevin, late right. 80s.
Get Out.
Get Out. That's
there
it.
We go. So yeah, he has Get Out, and he got a lot of buzz about that. And then he did the last movie, Us. That was pretty good.
Hmm.
And now his third film seems like it's an alien film, just like M. Night Shyamalan. But then after that, M. Night Shyamalan really just, you know, his career just kind of went down the drain that way. And I'm hoping Jordan Peele doesn't, you know, follow the same.
M. Night's making a comeback right now with Apple TV Plus with Servant, so.
Hey, I've been watching that, and let me tell you, that is actually a really good, creepy show.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty good. And then, of course, we saw Jurassic World, the trailer for that, which is June 10th.
Yep.
That seemed pretty good, and they say that's the last one, so let's hope that's true.
I wish they would have saved the surprise for the movie.
For what? Yeah.
That they got the original cast back in it.
They couldn't. Leaks happen.
Yeah, but still, like, not everybody's sick and reads the internet. So, like,
yeah,
like that's something that I probably wouldn't have noticed. I wouldn't have read too much. And like, I try to avoid stuff around the movie stuff, like all the Marvel stuff. And
you just can't get away from it, man. I wish you could.
Well, the sites I generally go to, like, it'll say something, it'll post to just say it's spoiler. I just avoid it. And as long as you don't say something, Rob, we're good.
Oh, very okay. much like how I was spoiled on the last episode of Peacemaker when I just looked and it's like, oh, by the way, I'm like, really? I did not need to see that. Okay,
oh,
I'm
watching man. It anyway. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And then the Obi-Wan date also got announced, which was May 25th, but I don't think that got announced on the during the Super Bowl, but it's kind of cool the fact that they're going to do that. And then the Boys animated series. Have you guys seen that announced?
I saw it announced. I'll be covering The Boys when that comes back on Amazon Prime for the new season on Panels to Pixels podcast. But we'll probably give a mention to it when
we talk about
upcoming things.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. I saw it the other day for the first time. And I was like, oh, okay, this is new. And hopefully they're probably going to do something like a style of the Invincibles or Invincibles.
Yeah. So. Invincible, the way they got away with that when Jamie and I were covering that, it is the fact that with animation, you could go all out and this is more of an adult animation. And it cuts their budget in half.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I thought that was actually pretty cool. And then of course, you know, I actually, you know, The movies that I've been trying to, you know, that I've been watching, Nightmare Alley. Have you guys seen that?
No.
I haven't yet.
You know, it got nominated for Oscars and everything. Big buzz. And it's, what is it? Guillermo del Toro?
Yeah.
I could not get into it. I am still trying to watch. I watch it, like, I think 10 minutes at a time because it's just, I don't know. It's just not for me. I'm still expecting monsters, you know, to come out, and that's not the case on that.
Well, from the way you're talking about it, it sounds kind of like Knives Out, where everybody was raving about that movie, and I watched it. It was good. It was okay, but I knew exactly who did it. Like in the first half an hour of the movie. And that, like, so the whole time I'm just like, how are they going to reveal that it was this character that did the crime?
Right.
And like it wasn't very, I think the thing that kept me along with that movie was the cast itself, because there are so many people in it and all good actors and actresses and you know, but like I didn't see where the hype train came from for that movie. And there's a sequel coming out for it.
Yes. Yeah.
The only person coming out in the sequel, I think, is
Daniel Craig.
Craig. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's what I hear, that only he's coming back. And then I just watched, and you know what? the Book of Boba Fett, I have to say that, wasn't my favorite. I don't know about how about you guys.
The last few episodes were basically The Mandalorian.
Pretty much. And those were the best episodes. That's what really got to me. I have no idea why Boba Fett needed to, you know, take off his helmet all the time. But, yeah, no, I wasn't too crazy about it. But it did make me look forward to the next season of The Mandalorian, which I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we'll get more answers based upon that. I think the reason why they threw The Mandalorian in there is for the fact that it had already made such a huge success for Disney Plus, and that's how we were already introduced or reintroduced to Boba Fett. So here is Mando coming in to add a little to the story, and it kind of took away from it. And of course, bringing in Luke and a really good fake out of Luke.
That was actually, and it's funny because the reason it looked so good from what I hear was when the first one they did on The Mandalorian, you know, which was okay, somebody on the internet went ahead and did a deep fake, which was better than what they did, and they hired the guy.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense.
it's like, you know what? If you did it better than us, come over here. No, but it's true, man. I just think that those last few episodes were great, but it was only because of that.
Yeah. The best part of it was in the very beginning when we get the history of how he got out of the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, which a lot of people always, you know, said, hey, how did that happen? And on comic books, I know they covered it.
Well, but also Patton Oswalt also ruined it for us when he talked about it on Parks and Rec and got it exactly. And I think the writers said, hey, Patton Oswalt did this as a whimsical thing in Parks and Rec. We need to steal that story. And it was very much accurate to it.
Yeah. And I bet you they didn't pay me a single dollar.
Probably not.
He's like, they took my shit and they ran with it. Yeah. And also,
he's such a nerd, though, that he probably didn't care and loved it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, listen, man. If somebody mentions me somewhere, you know, I'll be like, hey, that's the best I'm going to get, probably.
Yeah. I mean, it was basically paying fair to a story that he and supposedly from what I read about that was he actually made up that story on the fly.
Yep.
It wasn't even scripted.
Oh, look at that. And then Reacher. Have you guys seen Reacher?
I saw the advertisements. I'm looking and interested into seeing it.
I have to say, it's actually pretty good. According to what I hear, you know, like in the books, he's supposed to be a big, brawling looking guy, and they got him just right for the show, but it's pretty good. And I went back to watch the movie with Tom Cruise, and the movie with Tom Cruise is not that bad. It's just he's not the character from the book. But that being said, I mean, if they would have called it something else, it's not a bad movie or anything like that. But the biggest thing that that kind of, you know, really got to me was on the Oscar snub, which was Spider-Man. A lot of people thought that it was going to actually be nominated for Best Picture, and that did not happen. I mean, that's like always, you know, with anything that has to do with pop culture,
we get snubbed. Yeah, well, maybe Scorsese did something about that because he really hates comic book films.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that he really detested them. Well, I mean, but Scorsese hasn't done something good in a while, so.
Well, he did The Irishman, and that was, what, 3.5 hours worth of a movie, and honestly, that's a little bit overkill in my opinion. Oh, there's certain movies you can't really just sit down that long.
Yeah, that bored the shit out of me, though, I have to say. And then the fake, you know, how they make them young and stuff like that just didn't look that great with Robert De Niro.
Oh, the de-aging? Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then, of course, you know, that Spider-Man, and then the Dune director, the director for Dune got snubbed too, even though the movie's nominated for 10 Oscars. So I was actually very surprised on that one. What do you think, Ralph?
I think Dune's awful, but
you didn't like Dune.
No, I didn't watch it yet.
I haven't watched it.
This is next. This is next on the agenda. Oh, you can't really see; it's blurred out. That's annoying. It's apparently we don't have sponsors yet. Resident Evil Return to Raccoon City. Or Welcome to Raccoon City. I haven't watched it yet.
That was pretty good.
They
had reviews, but
the Uncharted movie is, it seems like it might be the first actual video game adaptation movie that's gotten pretty good reviews and seems like it does well with the footage. The only thing I, you know, going on to that is Nathan Fillion, who looks exactly, and I think he sounds exactly like the character.
Yeah.
Should have played the part instead of,
Marvel, well, yeah, but
my boy Spider-Man, but like I heard Tom Holland does a great job with it, so we'll see. I'm probably gonna try to check that out.
Nathan is that he's a little older now. I mean, if you got him back in the Firefly days, then yeah, he would have he would have done a great job on that. And as a matter of fact, he did do a short film on online.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that. I saw part of that and looked pretty good. So, but yeah, talking about video game or movies that are like video games, I mean, get into our fantasy pick that we're going to destroy today, which is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. So
I am the lone defender of this movie.
You're the lone defender of this movie. Look, I mean, don't get me wrong.
I'm the public defendant that's got appointed to the person who did the crime, and I have to figure out a way to defend this movie.
Look, man, I mean, we normally try to cover movies that were either a box office disappointment or critically, it was disappointing. But this movie actually has 78% on Rotten Tomatoes. And this movie made some money. I mean, this thing had a budget of $185 million and made $790 million. So it made money.
Right.
The hardcore fans just did not like it. And it ranks very low, of course, between all four movies. Sometimes despised too. So as you get, you know, so for anybody out there, you know, so you know, spoilers ahead. But story of you know, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is basically Indiana Jones has to find not only the legend of the Crystal Skull and figure that out, but also he is being pursued by the Russians because they also want whatever secrets the Crystal Skull actually, you know, has. And so in the movie, you know, the cast of the movie is Harrison Ford, Shia LaBeouf, which turns out that, you know, he's Harrison Ford, you know, Indiana Jones' son. Karen Allen comes back from the original Raiders of the Lost Ark. We have Kate Blanchett, who plays a Ukrainian soldier that's looking for the secrets of the, you know, also looking for the secrets of the Crystal Skull. And then John Hurt as a friend of Harrison Ford. And of course, you know, as you guys know, directed by Steven Spielberg and produced by Frank Marshall. So guys, whether it's your thoughts on this movie.
It was entertaining. It gave all the themes and tropes of an Indiana Jones movie that we've gotten before, between Raiders all the way up to you know, when he gets his little adventure with his father. But that was the first film since, what, 89, 90 or something at that
point? Something like that, yeah.
So it took that long for us to get it. And Harrison Ford by this time is older. And hell, we're looking at an older Harrison Ford once they come out with this new movie. But yeah, you know, it was meant to ride on the coattails of Indy's son that he just meets because he has to, you know, Mutt seeks him out to find Professor Ox or Oxley. And that's right. Really the reason that begins his journey in the film, which is a good way to get him roped in. But they could have left out the alien story completely. They could have just went on the mystique of the Crystal Skull as it really is in this world and how mysterious it is within this world that we are now, because they have them in museums and they are knowledgeable. They're known about this.
Right.
But they could have just left it in the lore of fantasy and unknown, just like how Raiders was with the Lost Ark, the Temple of Doom with the Sankara Stones, and then you got the Holy Grail on the third one.
Right.
Originally, they had other ideas and thoughts for the story for this particular film. Originally, they wanted to do something in China, but they kind of threw that out. But we got what we got. And I think it was Lucas's way of saying, I want to put Star Wars in Indiana Jones.
Yeah, something like that. Because I also heard that it was supposed to also be taking place with the lore of the Lost City of Atlantis, and then that got also thrown out. My biggest gripe on this movie is not only the alien part of it, of course. So when you think about Raiders of the Lost Ark, you think about Temple of Doom, you think about The Last Crusade, most of it has to do with religious artifacts.
Yes.
You know, yeah, and even though the Sankara stones are really not based off of anything real, but the law, you know, the Ark and the Holy Grail pretty much are based off, you know, the Bible and stuff like that. So it's always based off of some kind of religious thing. This all of a sudden got based off of just aliens. And, you know, Spielberg did not want to do anything with aliens. So, of course, Lucas called it, you know, what is it, a transdimensional beings or something like that.
Interdimensional beings.
Interdimensional, not transdimensional, but interdimensional beings. And
no, you can't mess that up in 2022, Rob. Yeah, brings on a whole new meaning of everything.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to put a disclaimer on that. They probably do an apology later on. But it was based off of that, and then I went ahead and watched all three movies. You know, the first three movies, and the one thing that really stuck out was that. So Lucas based these movies on the old serials that he used to watch when he was a kid.
Yep.
And so these films were filmed with actual film. There's just something, you know, the graininess of it. There's something that looks very Hollywood on this. You look at this movie, and as soon as it opens, you could see the digital work. And it just took me out of the whole Indiana Jones thing. It just looked way too sharp. It just seemed like everything was done in some kind of studio instead of actually in a location. It took me out of it. And then, of course, you have things like, you know, the Area 51 part of it, which was really cool because the fact that they revealed that the last part of Raiders of the Lost Ark is really in Area 51, I thought, okay, that's really cool. But then everything else after that just kind of seemed like, where were they going with this? And I feel like Spielberg was just like, listen, Lucas is my friend. I'm just going to do what he wants. He's getting old. So what do you think, Ralph?
Being
the defender of this.
I think you have to watch the South Park episode that correlates to this movie being released, which is fantastic. where it's the guys, the kids from South Park are having nightmares because said producer was raping Indiana Jones and stealing all his pride and freedom from the youth of America by doing what he did in this movie. But honestly, go back to the story of it. I'm pretty sure if we go back, and you said you just watched him today, I'm pretty sure when they bring the stuff back, the Ark of the Covenant back into the warehouse and in the end of that movie, I'm pretty sure there's something in there that you can tell it's in Roswell. I think it was a label on one of the boxes or something. I remember because I went through this a couple of years, like when this movie came out, and went back and watched the movies again. And then I noticed there was something in that one, and there was something in Temple of Doom, not Temple of Doom, in Last Crusade. In The Last Crusade, when he's in the room with the stone trying to find where the location of the Holy Grail was, he started talking about beings from other planes. And so they do make very subtle references to whether it be aliens or interdimensional beings throughout the series. And I thought it was kind of cool if they introduced, I honestly thought they were going for the ultimate, you know, turncoat thing, and that was going to have like ET pop out in the end and like make everything come full circle and everybody really hate it. But they didn't do that. And I know, like, you know, Steven Spielberg definitely was like, from what I read, he was against doing anything with aliens because he did Close Encounters and because he did ET.
Right.
But I don't know. I like the story effect of it personally, like going into an Indiana Jones movie. Like I just how many times I've watched them throughout the years and from my childhood until adulthood, you go in just expecting like some silliness and then adventure and finding cool stuff, like everything that makes like a good video game. You're going into it, you're going to have fun, you're going to enjoy it, not going to be super serious with itself and have a good time. That being said, there's some stuff that we'll hit on later that, you know, could have been changed and probably could have made it better. I don't think the alien stuff, whether you take it out or leave it in, would change to me much of the story.
Oh, I but, think yeah, it I mean, changes a lot, the story. I mean, especially towards the end.
I think they just went too deep into it.
Yeah.
I think if you still kept it as like the inner, like what they said, the interdimensional beings, and they didn't have that whole part with the spaceship and stuff like that going, and just making it too apparent, you could have did less with more and like just talked about it and like kind of ended it that way versus showing all this outlandish stuff.
Well, I mean, going into that, I mean, so what did you think, Mark? With a lot of the silliness that they had.
Well, the silliness to me was the monkey race. that race where Shia LaBeouf has to play like Tarzan and
right.
swing with the monkeys. The monkeys are attacking him. The issue with me was majorly towards the end. They could have left it and made it kind of vague with the aliens. My thought was just use the history of what the crystal skulls were in the real world and right. allude it to certain tribes, and at the very end allude to, oh, wait, hold on, these were not bring out a whole crystal skull, put it onto the remains of this alien's body or skeleton and making it complete and then creating something to kill a woman and then bring out a whole flying saucer at the end.
Right.
Yeah, to me, it went a little bit too off the rails at the very end. Like Ralph was saying, it's meant to entertain you based upon those serials. It was a little bit over the top with the chases. You know, your typical Indiana Jones fashion, we get the using the snake to get him out of the quicksand and then having to using his fear of, hey,
right.
grab the snake. No, don't call it a snake. Grab the rope
or something like
that. Yeah,
and that's the thing that I wanted to get into. You know, so they're like five scenes or six scenes that really stuck out to me. And the first one was using the shotgun pellets to see where the alien was because of the magnetism, mm-hmm. which I thought it was fucking ridiculous. You're telling me that this thing that's inside a crate, the only time that you will actually get any reaction from any kind of metal is when you open the crate. So you tell me a little thin piece of wood didn't do anything, right? But when you open it, all of a sudden the lights, you know, in the warehouse start to, you know, to turn towards the crate. But the pellets, he could throw that in the air and just follow it. Like if it was,
like it was a bunch of bees.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you got it. Well, they were taking the gunpowder out of the grenade. So it's just gunpowder, which it's just flecks of metal. Outlandish, yes, but like it is practical. It would actually kind of work. Like I don't know if you ever used
what are you talking about?
I'm telling you, I have the iridium. Yeah, yeah.
The thing took corners. All right.
No, I get that, but you gotta dispose yourself for reality for a movie.
You gotta suspend your disbelief at certain
points. Well, like if I took you know a handful of powder and like it was I think they're called iridium magnets.
I think you're correct. It's oil based and it's metal and oil, and a lot of people try to do alien symbiote costumes with it too.
Well, they're used with firearms and stuff like that to hold them to gear.
Okay.
Like those things, if you take two of those things and put them together and like you have a finger in the way, it'll break your finger. That's how strong they are. But like, yeah. Outland, like the throwing the powder up in the air and the way it, you know, traversed like, you know, a swarm of bees, a little crazy. This suspend your belief on that part. But like the pellets I thought was pretty cool. Well, that's pretty ingenious. Like, obviously, it's Indiana Jones. He's always ingenious. Throwing him down the box and watching what box it goes to, that made a little more sense. But, like, I mean, they could have used the card catalog and just found the box.
It's like a library. Yeah, hold on.
Wait, I think it's over here.
Hold on. Does somebody remember the Dewey Decimal System? Let's look up where it is. UFO.
I mean, this took place in the 50s, so they knew it very well back then.
Exactly.
So while we're talking about that one scene, was that the Ark of the Covenant that they broke open?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and which I thought it was cool because that's how that's how you know that was the warehouse that, you know, that
I hope that they're supposedly the rumor is they're revisiting the Ark of the Covenant for the fifth one.
Are they now?
So we'll see.
We'll see about that. Interesting. What is it? Behind the scene thing. That Ark of the Covenant that you saw in the movie was the actual one they used in Raiders.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. And they had to have armed guards guard that piece of property because it's one of those hot items that, you know, a lot of collectors want and they would love to get their hands on the real one. So I'm like, I didn't realize that on a production, movie that, you know, you would have to have armed guards for something like that. But it's very interesting.
Yeah. It's so wild that I guess if this movie came out in this day and age, like I know like shows like Punisher and stuff like that had I don't know how I got on this mailing list, but they had auctions for props from those shows.
Right.
And they went for a good chunk of change. And you could get like the newspapers from the show. The clothing. Store. And I'd be broke if they had an Indiana Jones on there.
Yeah. Oh no, they have it all the time. As a matter of fact, it's the prop store that does it. Every 6 months, they do an auction. It's really cool. I mean, they do some really cool stuff. I hope they have the fridge that that Harrison Ford got in because I'll buy that. That's the next thing. Harrison Ford getting into a fridge, and then getting flown like a mile or two out and he's still okay. That was another ridiculous thing. And even Steven Spielberg said it was like, well, listen, it was really Harrison it was really George Lucas's idea, but then Steven Spielberg said that it was his idea because he was trying to protect George Lucas, but then in the end he actually said no, it was George Lucas's idea. And George and Lucas says, oh well, I read somewhere that you have a 50-50 chance to live. I'm like, it still looks stupid, man. It was just one of those things where I just like, really?
Well, the one benefit behind that particular scene, it was entertaining in the sense of you got to see a testing site for nuclear weapons.
Right.
And the last time I had seen something like that in film was a remake of The Hills Have Eyes. I think it was a sequel. So I thought that was pretty cool. Now, mind you, this could be also, hey, I think George Lucas and Steven were talking about Back to the Future when they were drinking too much one night, because Steven was involved with Back to the Future, which relates to this, because originally that story for Marty was to get into a refrigerator and be brought to a testing site or where they were going to blow up nukes, and that throws him back in time. No. So Lucas must have said, hey, let's do that.
Well, it's they call it nuke the fridge, which is now an actual saying. Pretty much just like jumping the shark.
Yep.
Is a saying also for movie, for
TV.
For a TV or something that has, taken a course or a direction where the show really shouldn't, when you see that the show is probably going downhill, they'll try to do something, really crazy. So they're also now, the expression now is called nuke the fridge. So thanks to this movie, that's the new expression on that. So, and then another thing that I thought was stupid, let's talk the Shia LaBeouf thing. Because I can't get away from that. First of all, I think he was the wrong actor, and I think Steven Spielberg and, afterwards found out that, he picked the wrong actor. You, Mr. Defendant, what do you think about Shia LaBeouf being in that role?
I will never, ever defend him. he was serviceable. I mean, it was, I don't know, man. I don't know who you'd replace him with. And
Dude, you could replace him with a trained dog and it would have been better. Come on.
I have one person I think that would work better, but I think with Shia LaBeouf, they were trying to kind of satisfy the younger audiences because at that time Transformers was around.
Oh, it was huge. Yeah.
And right. His name was synonymous with blockbusters, and then he's alongside Harrison Ford. They bring back Karen Allen. You got John Hurt in there. You have major hitters as names for this film.
Right.
So who else could you get at that time that was pretty much making their name through Hollywood with his talents? Would be Christian Bale would be a perfect replacement for LaBeouf, in my opinion.
Hmm. I mean,
well, Christian Bale's the same age as...
As Harrison Ford.
Oh, he's not.
No, he's not. But he looks it.
Well, if you,
then
if
it you're... fits because that would be his father, and it looked very similar.
Actually, what was it? Sean Connery was only like what?
7 years older than Harrison Ford.
Exactly. So you know they all start young, man. No, but yeah, so, and the reason I bought that is because, like, the character itself of Mutt, I thought was, it seemed like it was just, hey, let's just give Harrison Ford a son, and let's just put a young person there, of course, to bring the young audience, which I really didn't feel like they needed to do that.
No.
But him bringing the motorcycle halfway around the world and the motorcycle did nothing. Who the fuck puts a motorcycle in a plane, you bring it to, what, Peru... You have it parked, but that motorcycle does nothing for the movie after that.
Nope.
And I just thought it was just like, why? Me being the director, I would be like, why are we putting the motorcycle in there? Just fucking get in the plane, go, and that's it.
Mm.
You know, better so it was those little choices that really made me kind of go, okay, sure, why not?
The better scene, though, with the motorcycle is the chase throughout the town and the university and them going through the library. That's where it became useful. Especially yeah. when he's trying to stay on the motorcycle and they kind of crash in the library and the student asks, and it's that comical scene where the student asks, Dr. Jones, I have a question. And he gives him the answer and he goes, well, you got to get out of the library. True archaeologists are out in the field. And then he gets on the bike and they go.
And they go.
And yeah. It suited the scene. But yeah, I agree with you. The motorcycle throughout. Yeah, bringing because it along saw, makes right. no sense.
I saw the motorcycle in the plane. I'm like, okay, there's going to be some major motorcycle thing happening, and you know, for the other part of the nope, nothing like that.
I was going to say, I mean, that motorcycle had a great scene in the lovely city of New Haven, Connecticut. So,
yeah, because I heard it was done in
yeah, it was filmed at Yale.
Yeah, Yale or Harvard.
Yeah.
Oh, Yale. Yeah. Yeah. And then that brings the you know brings me to also the monkey race scene, which yeah. So here's the part of the movie that I thought really took a dive.
It really nuked the fridge.
Yeah, on that one. Yeah, exactly. Because it's like okay, so Shia LaBeouf gets tangled on some vines. The vines actually take him up. I didn't realize that, you know, the vines, you know, can actually do that. You know, is and then he's hanging out with the monkeys. He catches up to motor vehicles by swinging through the trees with the monkeys. I didn't realize that monkeys only attacked, you know, communist Nazis.
They're smart monkeys. And then they showed him the right trajectory to beat the convoy to get to the car on time.
Yeah.
I don't know why this is so hard to believe.
So, well, all right, you know. And then you have, what was the other one? The ants?
Oh, yeah, the killer ants.
The killer
ants. Yeah, I blocked that out from when I watched this movie in the theater, apparently, because I don't ever remember that scene. I might have fell asleep during that part, but that would probably track well with my record of watching movies in the theater. Hey, but listen,
if Peru had ants like that, I doubt that anybody in South America would still be alive. Okay, because those things would just take a body away. But well,
Michael,
I love how they built a little tower to get Cate Blanchett. That was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Douglas and Paul Rudd would still be alive because you know they're ant men. Be able to, and it could handle that because you know they were able to handle the bite of a bullet.
If you would have put Ant-Man in this, I would have believed that more.
How do you know he wasn't? He could have been mixed in amongst those millions of ants that they were getting chased by. All in the imagination. That's where they should have left the aliens.
No, exactly. And then, of course, what is it, Karen Allen, when they took off, you know, through the off the cliff, and then the tree just gently put them in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, these are the things that I like when I see these movies. Because, you know, if you go back to, like, Raiders had some crazy stuff, but it wasn't so over the top. You know, Temple of Doom, the only thing I could actually say about Temple of Doom is the mine shaft cars.
Oh, the, yeah, yep, the mine.
You know, the whole roller coaster thing?
Yeah.
And you know what? Sure, I mean, that car should have just flown off 100 times off the tracks, but it was a fun scene.
Yes.
That you just could, you know, you're like, okay, I'll accept that. In the other movie,
The Last Crusade.
The Last Crusade, I can't think of anything that I would say that's crazy. I mean, there was like, you know, there was them doing battle with the tanks, Indiana Jones trying to get the Cup of Christ. So there wasn't crazy things in there. There was also the chase, you know, the boat chase in the beginning.
And then the
there
planes.
Was a lot of
yep, the plane when they the take plane. When he takes over a plane and he right. has his father shoot and he accidentally shoots out the.
That
the
was a
rear.
Yeah, exactly. That was fun. The only thing that maybe was a little crazy was the what was it? The fighter plane when in the tunnel when it loses its wings and then all of a sudden it passes right by the car and then you see the pilot like look at Indiana Jones and they look at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I'll take that.
And a Zeppelin.
Yeah, exactly. But man, they really went a little too far with the especially the what is it? The waterfall. Fall 3 times down a waterfall, but somehow they're still alive.
Oh, Temple of Doom?
No, in a Crystal Skull. Remember
they that? had to make the 3 falls to get to the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
But they also did that with Temple of Doom too. By the way, after they come out of the you know, to suspend your disbelief, me and Megan already covered this. It should be out in another couple of weeks. But unless Temple of Doom, they come out of a plane with no parachute but with a rubber life raft.
Oh, that is true.
And they fall down and they hit not only one fall but 3 falls just the same and rapids on top of that.
Oh, okay.
So
all right, well I stand corrected then. But you know what, Temple of Doom is still a lot more fun than, you know, than this movie. But no, you're right. And one thing you said, Mark, which I think it made the movie very stupid. I think it made Harrison Ford's character just old. Seem very silly, was using the snake as a rope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, him freaking out. Like, yes, he doesn't like snakes. But him freaking out the way he did and saying, you got to call it a rope. I'm like, man, you're a freaking professor, man. not only did you call a nuclear bomb nuclear, I don't know. There's just something about his character. I feel like his character was just made sillier than what he's always like in all the other movies. Yes, Harrison Ford. You know, his Indiana Jones is a person that one cool character. You know, great under pressure, thinks on his feet, adventurer. On this one, they really took him being old, I think, way too far. I think that if they were gonna, you know, fine, you want to show that, you know, Indiana Jones has age, but try to keep him as a cool, even if he's old, try to keep him as that cool old, you know, under pressure kind of guy. And I just feel like, you know, that especially the snake scene was just like, really, that's, and they start arguing on the, you know, about. Like, there were just so many little things that I think that they did in this movie. Him trying to explain the difference between quicksand and what was the other thing? He was trying to explain to him, like, to a mud, what, you know, the difference between quicksand and something else while they're sinking. There was just a lot of choices there. I was like, you're trying to go for this comic relief thing, and it just wasn't working very well. And that was my problem with the whole movie. It's just, I just felt like they threw the little things in there that really didn't feel like it worked as well as the other movies. But the other thing was the aliens as archaeologists.
The alien things aside, people think it's ridiculous. Like that doesn't make it any more ridiculous or less ridiculous. It just adds to the nuance of it. I didn't read too much into that. She's pretty fantastic to look at, I'm not gonna lie. I think me and Joe coined her a chameleon when we spoke about the, I think the last movie I saw with her was Don't Look Up on Netflix. And like, I was like, man, like she, like it's, I thought she looked amazing when she was in Thor. And then, and this is like 6 years later, I'm like, she hasn't changed. And like this movie's even older and she looks the same. She hasn't changed a bit in like 15 years.
Well, she drinks the blood of children.
And probably. I didn't read too much into that. The snake thing, it suspend disbelief, yes and no, but like knowing animals and stuff like that wouldn't work.
If you're trying to pull a full grown man out of like quicksand, I think you would have torn that snake in half.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Or you would have got bit in the face 8 times.
Yeah, but it's a rat snake, so it's not poisonous.
Yeah, no, it still bites you in the face. It's not fun. It's not pleasant.
You know, if they would have done the biting on the face, you know, Harrison Ford getting bitten a few times, I would have gone for that. I'm like, all right.
Or he latches onto his arm and he gets pulled out like that. That'd be great.
Yeah.
It would make more sense. And then, like, when Shia LaBeouf throws him into the woods and, like, it was so badly digitized. Because, like when he's using him as a rope, he's only, like, 8 feet long. And he throws him into the jungle and the thing's, like, 20 feet long.
Yeah, I noticed that, too.
But again, like that, I was glad because in every movie there's something with snakes in it, and like they really waited a long time for the payoff on that one. like usually it's in the first like 30 minutes of the movie that they hit up how much he hates snakes.
Right.
But yeah, the archaeologist thing didn't bother me too much.
I think to me it was the whole aliens thing, and then they wanted to make the aliens archaeologists, and then of course, you know, the whole thing of the, it's all about knowledge. I think, like Mark, you were saying, I think if they would have left it with just the lore of the Crystal Skull, if you want to put El Dorado in there, that would be great. Sure. Yeah. I mean, El Dorado has always been this, you know, this big myth about, you know, the Golden City and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just keep it earthbound. That's all they had to do.
Lost City of Gold.
Yeah.
They actually did that too. To show a reference to this and how it got influenced, if you remember National Treasure with Nick Cage, it does take that whole Indiana Jones vibe. Right. But with the whole taking the pellets or the gunpowder and using that to find the alien ship or whatever it was, a sarcophagus to get the skull out in Area 51, he kind of does that in the second movie with the water trick and looking to find that proper seal in order to get into the chamber to get the Lost City of Gold.
Right, right.
Now, mind you, I kind of favor that show because it's American history and put into some sort of historic and adventure like Indiana Jones. Like Nicolas Cage could be the next Indiana Jones, which is very odd. But I enjoy it nonetheless. We had Ed Harris.
Yeah, 100%.
But you could see where they took from that and those tropes as well, which makes sense to me. But when they go a little bit overzealous with, like you were saying, them being archaeologists, and I kind of feel the same way. It's like they could have hinted at it, alluded to it, and not just say, all right, blatant in your face. Hold on. We got the skull. It's going to be put onto the skeleton and reinvigorate and start up this engine for this UFO to go back and then in the process kill all these Nazis. Very much like the Lost Ark, and when the Lost Ark is opened up, it melts everybody's faces. As long as you don't look at it, you're fine.
Right.
I do appreciate one thing of the research. I still, up until today, like you ever see those memes? Like I was today years old when I found this out. I'd never realized until I started researching some of the stuff for this this conversation that Temple of Doom was a prequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah. Megan and I talked about that. She actually brought it up because it's the way he treats Charlie. And then it's before he meets Marion or goes back to Marion. So he had to go with the dumb blonde for a little while and then realize, hold on, I need to go to the smart one that could outdrink every guy in the tavern.
Right. But
yeah.
Hold on, we're in the quicksand.
If you watch those movies out of sequence, if you watch Temple of Doom, then Raiders, and then go to, let's say, Last Crusade, and then go to this, you could easily do that, and then you won't break continuity. They're just different adventures.
Yeah, no, and that's what makes, you know, that's what makes those movies great. And again, I went back to see them, and all of them stand on their own, but at the same time, they all have like this great thing about it, which is a lot of fun. In Last Crusade, including Sean Connery in it, was phenomenal because he is such a great actor. And of course, him, pitting him against, you know, Harrison Ford, they just made such a great duo in that movie. I just didn't think, you know, I just felt like Shia LaBeouf and Harrison Ford just didn't have any chemistry on screen at all.
No, they didn't mesh well as far as, and they were together for the most of the part.
Right.
Cate Blanchett wasn't really all there all that much, but it's not a flack to her on her acting ability. It's just the way she portrayed the character. Now, another actress I could see that could actually fill in for that and we could switch her out for, that would be Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
I could see her as that character taking on a little bit more dark, but not with the cartoonistic version of how she speaks English from German or Ukrainian. Yeah.
Her character was so cartoonish. I mean, just with the haircut and the sword and all that stuff just made it look way too stereotype, I think, or whatever it was.
That was a sexy haircut. So to go back to my research, and the reason why I'm doing this again, watching this for the third time, it was 100%. The video quality on the disc is way better than the stream.
Oh, okay.
All right, it's weird. So. Yeah, because this is the scene. Like, it looked, and going back to, like, you're talking about how this looks much more digital and sharp. I don't know if you've seen the re-release, the 4K ones. Mm-hmm. They cleaned them up really well, and they look really good.
Oh, they look fantastic, yeah. No, I tell everyone, you know what? I mean, you could stream, but keep buying your media, man, because it looks better.
Now, it's wild, like how much better this looks, and like it's cohesive. Like literally, when I was watching it through Vudu, and like it's Dolby Vision or whatever it is, right? And 4K HDR. It's just like certain scenes didn't have it. It wasn't a buffering thing. It was just grainy looking, like it wasn't mastered.
But even with that, again, even with that conversion that they did in 4K, the first three movies still look like it was filmed, you know, like it doesn't look, there's a lot of practical effects in those films, very little digital stuff. I believe the fourth movie was just a lot of digital elements into it that just kind of, it just took it out of what it looks like, you know, from the other ones.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they did a lot of backlot filming.
Correct.
Where they just put in backgrounds.
But yeah, so I would think that, you know, especially with the story, if I had to fix this movie, I mean, my story would have been probably sticking with, like Mark was saying, with either the story from China or the city of Atlantis or something like that, or just don't have the alien part of it, just have, you know, the City of Gold and the Crystal Skull lore into it. And I think that would have done a much better job. And with the cast, like you were saying, Cate Blanchett, get rid of her and definitely get rid of Shia LaBeouf.
Mm.
I don't even think that he needed to have a son, but whatever.
It had to move the story along for him to get to Oxley and then to actually see Marion for the first time.
Right.
So it kind of fit the story. But he didn't necessarily have to be there all along the way, Shia LaBeouf. He could have easily taken the information from the kid and ran off to look for Oxley himself and then happened upon Marion and Oxley.
Yeah, who would have raised the monkeys then? Come on. Let's be real here. He wouldn't have raised the monkeys. He wouldn't have done his knife flip trick with his boots.
What he could have done was, just like he had Short Round, he could have had a monkey as a sidekick.
Man, if they could have brought Short Round back, that would have been great.
You see, I think that would have been a better choice. So, but, you know, hey.
Is Short Round still alive?
Yes.
Is he?
Yeah, he's still around.
Look, Mark's like, I hung out with him last week.
No. We had to do research for Temple of Doom. He's still around. Key is actually a stuntman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And working for Hollywood or in Hollywood. Or another really? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he does stuff behind the scenes, and he was more than willing before Dick Donner had passed away. He was one of the people that really wanted to come back to do the Goonies.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, look at that. Well, they could have gotten him instead of, you know, Shia there with the haircut that he was actually. I mean, he combed that head like 15 times, man. It was just like,
wait, so let's, why don't we jump into like what our, so we all know, we've already covered like how we would change the story. Me personally, like I probably would have just left less of the alien stuff out and, you know, rolled with it and let the imagination take it just like the other films did.
Right.
But like we're talking about it, like let's get into who we would pick to replace the cast or who, like, obviously I think all three of us have agreed, like literally this Henry Jr. would be the one to go. Right. And Mark said he would change Kate Blanchett for Tilda. I personally, like, I don't know if I would change Kate Blanchett I would just change how they address the character.
Right.
Like she doesn't have to wear a uniform with a hammer and sickle on the back of it. Like, we know she's a communist person. Like,
get rid of the rapier.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like, you know, let it be. And like, but then again, like, I don't know. Well, it was a female antagonist in Last Crusade, right?
Yes. Well, yes. Kind of forcefully, it was a love interest that turned into a antagonist.
A three-way, actually.
Yeah, because both the son and the father both had her at one point.
Rob, who would you recast for Henry Jr.?
If I had to recast him, like, if, you know what? If it had anything to do, if we're talking about not, you know, sticking with actors at the time that the movie came out, I would choose Chris Pratt. And the reason was Chris Pratt was at one time rumored to come out in one of the Indiana Jones movies or in the last movie.
Hmm.
Everybody thought that he would have been a great choice for being Indiana Jones' son.
Or being Indiana Jones himself. That was the rumor.
The rumor?
Yeah,
I thought the rumor was that it was his son. But if the rumor was him, like, you know, restarting
they wanted to reboot it with him as a newer version. So yeah, my thought, if we had to replace Shia with somebody else, if I couldn't get Christian Bale, next one would be Sean Patrick Flannery, who actually played young Indiana Jones himself.
And he did a great job. As a matter of fact, weren't they two actors in the young Indiana Jones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one, no, I think he would have done a good job, too.
Wasn't the original River Phoenix?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing about River Phoenix. River Phoenix, like, I just watched that right before we got on, and, man, he did such a great job at imitating Harrison Ford, his mannerisms, the facial expressions, you know, the little things that you feel like, you know, are Harrison Ford. He did that very well.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Shia LaBeouf, if they would have shown, like, you know, something of Harrison, you know, of the character of Indiana Jones through Shia LaBeouf, then I would. But no, he's just a completely different character that just doesn't match. It does. Like, if somebody told me, hey, that's his son, I'd be like, hell no. No, it's not. I think they should have gotten Gary Coleman.
What?
He's dead.
Hold on. The monkey scene.
What
on.
You talking about, Dr. Jones?
Exactly. We talking about Dr. Jones? And then have Karen say, "This is your son," and he, and he's gonna go, "I don't think so."
Oh wow,
that would have been a whole different movie towards the end. So, yeah, so that's actually our fantasy picks for this. I think it's a very
I didn't get to pick my guy.
You didn't get to pick his guy.
You didn't get to. I thought you said you picked a monkey.
No, I'm not picking a monkey. These monkeys are having a silly race right now, and Shia LaBeouf's losing.
Yeah,
I like the Chris. I like the Chris Pratt idea. It's ironic that we talked about it. Like if I had a choice of any time and place, River Phoenix would have been my pick because I loved him on the show, man. I thought he did such a good job, and like it would have been awesome.
If River Phoenix was still alive, that they would have picked him.
To bring him back.
I know they couldn't because he was playing a young Indiana Jones.
That's what I'm saying.
But like, if that wasn't the case, I would have picked him because he just fit the part so well. If I was picking from that time period, I got one I could be a little funny with.
Oh God, here we go.
I would have. Now we didn't know back then, but I would have picked Ellie Page, who's now Elliot Page.
Oh my God.
I mean, she could have been his daughter. I think she would have, like, how good she does in
The Umbrella Academy.
That one, yeah, The Umbrella Academy. Like, she has the perfect mix of, like, serious, kick-ass, but can be funny. And that's, like, perfect for Indiana Jones. But honestly, like, if I was being serious, like, at the time, he was just coming out, Zac Efron.
Very true,
Because he's put together a pretty good... damn killer ants. They distracted me. It's so bad.
Stop watching the movie.
I can't help it.
It's like a train wreck. You can't stop looking at it.
Exactly.
Like his just like his resume since that 2008 has been pretty damn good. And like obviously like going, you know, along with like why they picked Shia LaBeouf was like trying to get the audience that goes to pay to see these movies, like probably like 14 to 18 year olds, like it would have been a perfect pick,
right?
As far as money, and like he would have probably been cheaper at the time, and like he's got all the qualities, and they could have dirtied him up a little bit, and he would have been a perfect look for the movie, and would have been able to handle the role pretty well, as long as they didn't have him comb his hair every 6 seconds.
I just think making him into a greaser was. I don't know, because they were trying to. I guess what they were trying to do was make him into like Marlon Brando. You know, remember that scene, role in Marlon Brando where he's like, you know, with a leather jacket, and they wanted to make Shia LaBeouf look like that,
right?
And I just like, well, you didn't have to do that. I mean, you could have done two extremes. You could have either done somebody who was just such a nerd. You know, that it's just like, you know, that he has no, he wants no kind of adventure whatsoever and nothing, or done the other extreme where he's crazier than Indy himself, yeah. Where, you know, even Indy is like, holy shit, even I wasn't like this. But yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of ways that, a lot of directions the stories could have gone, and I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen with the fifth.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that Ford is in it, but he's not as active. Usually the focus is on something else. But that's kind of what leaked story plots were, and people are trying to shame it. I just look forward to see the movie when it comes out. We haven't even gotten a teaser trailer, but of course Harrison Ford did halt filming because he got hurt on set again.
At least he wasn't flying an airplane this time and, you know, crashing.
Yeah, but the Millennium Falcon's door slammed on his leg and broke that.
Yeah, and then after that, he was on an airplane and actually crashed into a golf course or something like that.
Yeah.
And they told him, you know, it's like, no, you can't, you can never fly while you're doing a movie, period.
Yeah, he's a risk right now.
Yeah.
He's worse than Robert Downey Jr. was in, like, the early 2000s.
Yeah, but that's because of drugs. But then again, you know, flying is a drug, I guess, for somebody. All right. So anything else on that, Ralph? I mean,
no, we're good. I mean, I just saw the money shot where she killed the aunt with her niece. No, that's honestly, I think they did a pretty good job of picking, even like the main bad Russian guy who got eaten by ants that I'm watching right now. Like, he was probably the perfect guy for that part. The way he pulled it off when he's getting pulled into the ant, it looked great.
Well, he has the face for it. Like, if you look at it, yeah. Again, I think the Russians in this movie, they really made them as cartoonish as possible.
Well,
I still don't understand how, like, I do love how, like, the crystal skull, like, for whatever reason, scares the ants away.
Well, you were talking about Andrew Divov right now. That's why. And Andrew Divov played the genie or the djinn. And what's the name of that horror movie about the genie? But he's notorious for playing those evil roles. He's
the perfect. Djinn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The djinn, right?
I think
it was
so.
Called the djinn or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't realize he was the monster in that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, right, he has a very cartoonish face. I don't know. Like, oh, I yeah. said, I think all the Russians, they just made him look too like slapstick, I think, almost to the point. Nowadays you can't villainize anybody from what I hear. You know. So, and I think in today's world they probably would have made Mutt a female character. Like yeah. you were saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't that right, Ralph?
Yeah, in the efforts of being politically correct and proper, I'm going to plead the fifth.
All right, so I think, you know, just to kind of wrap it up on the story of the Crystal Skull, we know that we would have changed Shia LaBeouf, we would have changed Cate Blanchett, probably would have done one of the other stories that we were talking about. Anything on your part, Ralph?
No, I mean, that's pretty solid. I mean, like I said, like, the story would just like do less of some of the dumb storytelling.
Right.
And by dumb storytelling, it's treating the audience like morons and like, oh, this is what happens. This is what we're doing. This is why we're here. And let people just either imagine it or figure it out.
Right.
I think, yeah, just the one. Maybe the Cate Blanchett character could be recast, but like definitely Shia LaBeouf. I mean, he doesn't bother me that much in this movie. I just think it's how they. It's just like with Cate Blanchett's character. It's how they address the character and
right.
the nuances and the way they make him act.
I mean, the one thing I know about Shia LaBeouf is he is a good actor. He's just kind of crazy.
Well, yeah. He went crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, he went
nuts. Because he was in this movie and he looked at the crystal skull too long.
Well, you know, when you he was in the movie Fury, the one with Brad Pitt that it was in World
yeah.
War II.
Yeah.
And the makeup that, you know, just to show you how far he would go. I mean, he cut himself on his face because he felt that the makeup effect that they did didn't look real enough.
Yikes.
Yeah. So that's how crazy he was. And he came out in he's come out in some crazy like independent movies. Mm-hmm. He likes doing that kind of stuff, but yeah. So that's our wrap up for Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Again, a movie that is somewhat entertaining to see, but is never going to measure up to the first three movies. Hopefully, the next movie coming out is going to be actually a lot better. But besides that, I want to briefly talk about a movie that came out a long time ago called Dungeons and Dragons. And this movie is one of those movies that I'm going to ask you guys, should it have ever been made?
No.
And like, I'm not a big Dungeons and Dragons. Like, I have friends that have played it and God knows in my 41 plus years on this planet. Like, I know a lot of people that actually play Dungeons and Dragons. It's such a popular iconic game that yes, it deserves the film treatment because it does have good lore to it and story,
right?
But it deserves more of a Peter Jackson type treatment where it's like a movie that's in three parts because there's a lot of storytelling to it.
But here's the problem with that. The problem with Dungeons and Dragons is that it's a made-up story.
Yeah,
everybody who plays it is going to play their own story.
Correct.
So that's why for me, like when the cartoon first came out, it was fun. And, you know, we grew up with the cartoon. We liked the cartoon. But when this story came out, first of all, they got one of the Wayans brothers to actually be in the show, in the movie, which was kind of like, all right, so you have him there for comedy relief. And the other one was Jeremy Irons, an amazing actor. You could tell that he was just doing this for the money because he hams it up so much.
Mm-hmm.
He goes way overboard. So, but it was such a horrible movie. And the problem with Dungeons and Dragons is that to bring it to life nowadays is you can't do anything that we haven't seen already. I mean, Game of Thrones had basically castles, dragons, you know, wizards and all that stuff. You had also the Lord of the Rings movies. So what can Dungeons and Dragons right now bring that those movies can't bring?
Nothing really at this point. Nothing new, right. Nothing interesting, unless role-playing games like that are coming back now as a trend.
Right.
And that's the only thing it's grasping. Now, if they kind of do it in a sense of follow people that are actually playing the game and see it in their minds and how they're creating their own character and it's interacting, and right. they go from reality of them playing it to the visual of the game, that would be an interesting concept. Very similar to which was a movie that came out in the 70s or late 70s, early 80s called Mazes of Monsters, and it had Tom Hanks in it.
Yeah.
And that was okay for a TV film, but that was low budget. But yeah,
that TV show actually gave Dungeons and Dragons such a bad name.
Oh, it did, because it made people who were crazy look and fantasize like Tom Hanks did. It's like he was ready to kill himself and jumping off a building, and it's like...
Yeah. Even my mom was like, oh, don't play that game. I hear that it makes you crazy. I'm like, really, Mom, that's not the real
deal. That's not the real deal. But if they took the concept of the actual game itself and made a story based upon it, and then have a group of people and its story starts around them, very much like Stranger Things, where they were playing Dungeons and Dragons and listening to Rush, they could create that same and then literally... have them talk about their character, their build-ups, their powers, whatever they have, and they focus in on the board, and then those people become in this mindset of them playing the game. And then they could always go back to those characters, and, you know, just this is just me spitting out theories and thoughts of what a good movie would be like that based upon a board game like that.
Right. I mean, and right now there's actually on Amazon, there's the show called Vox Machina, which I think is based off of Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, it's an actual campaign that was done and was recorded from what I hear. And then all of a sudden they decided to make an animation for it. If they could do something like, have you watched Vox Machina yet?
No.
No? It's actually hilarious. It's hilarious. And it's the type of thing where I could see, Mark, have you played Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah, I played it in high school.
Yeah, I did too. Ralph, have you?
Not the card type games? I don't have the.
They're not cards. Oh, you really never played any role playing games?
No, he plays the
like I played role playing video games, not like real like board games or real life games.
Okay, well, I mean the point of the whole thing is you have one person that directs the story and the other people are the players,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you know so. But this one, Vox Machina, the great thing about it is that you could tell that this was the way the campaign was being played. Because it is the raunchiest shit that you have ever freaking seen. It's a fun animation, and I recommend people, you know, watching it. I mean, it's not for kids, definitely.
I hope not.
Whatever movie, if they are going to make a new movie, I mean, they're going to have to come up with something like that. Something very original that you could use that. Because
no, they're making it. It's supposed to be coming out next year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard anything on that. I mean, but hey, I guess it might make it on the list of of bad movies, and we'll cover it one day.
Yeah, like World of Warcraft.
Ooh.
I actually bought that, like, on Black Friday for like $3 and like still haven't watched it.
Yeah, still haven't watched it?
I don't have the capacity for that, man.
Have you taken it out of the wrapper?
Yeah, probably just to put it, because like movies like that I would watch on like a flight.
Okay. No, I was going to say, if you haven't taken it out of the wrapper, leave it in the wrapper. It's the best. So, all right, guys. So, yeah, that's actually pretty much for our our show today. Yeah, so Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Sucks, but still watchable.
100%. This is episode 3, so we're on a an upward climb from we started at the bottom.
And, with
John Carter was enjoyable but annoying, and then this I could probably watch a couple more times.
Oh, okay.
In the same year, not in the same week. This is technically the second full time I've gone through it today, and
you're done. All right, man. So, Mark, where can they find you?
I have two podcasts that you could actually hear me on. Currently, right now, Panels to Pixels podcast. You can be found on the Next Level Online Podcast Radio Network. I'm sure Ben's going to hate me for keep getting it wrong, but I don't have my paperwork in front of me. But just search for Panels to Pixels podcast. Currently, I'm not on it. I'm a hiatus on it. But Steve Brown, who's my co-host, he's hosting it, and he's covering The Witcher. And he's also covering Snowpiercer. He's covering Witcher with our friend Lara. And he's covering Snowpiercer with our friend Daphne. I'll be back on Panels to Pixels podcast to start covering Moon Knight when that comes in at the end of March. And I'll be back on that. So just search for that. You can find it in any podcast player of choice. Cool. You could also find me on the Adrenaline Cinema podcast. And I've already mentioned it. We've recorded it. It's not out yet. My friend Megan and I cover Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. We talk a lot about the movie. I think we went almost 2 hours on it. you'll have a lot to hear from me. We go into deep dives. So you can find that on any podcast player of choice, or you could just go to the piratecoreentertainment.com site where all the other podcasts on my network are.
Awesome. Awesome. And you, Ralph, are you on the Twitters or anything like that, or on Facebook?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not on social media. I stay away. I still have a MySpace profile. I don't know if that's still even active.
But, okay. Well, Ralph is a little behind on the that. But yeah, you can find us on Instagram on Fantasy Picks Movie Edition. You can also find us on Twitter and find us on Facebook. So, I want to thank everybody for joining us, and hopefully we will. See you next time, man. So, peace.
All right. Later, everybody.
Kalima.
Shukka day.
All right. Let me stop because you idiot. You're an ass, man.